You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and I love to talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. If you're just tuning in for the first time, all the previous episodes can be found in the archives at heritageradionetwork.org. This year is Heritage Radio Network's 10th anniversary. It's never too late to support great radio. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate and make your contribution today. I'm thankful for listeners like you, and I'd love it if you'd leave me a review wherever you find this podcast. I sat down recently for a live show at Industry City in Brooklyn with Michele Iadarola of Especially Puglia. They're a fantastic supplier of Italian olive oil and jarred goods and pasta and cheese and honey. They do agriturismo as well, so tune in, give it a listen, hope you like it. Today's episode of Feast Your Ears was recorded live at Industry City in Brooklyn. Industry City is New York's hub for the innovation economy. Learn more at industrycity.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Innsmead at Industry City. I'm Kat Johnson, the communications director at Heritage Radio Network, and you are here for a live edition of Feast Your Ears with Harry Rosenblum, a.k.a. The Food Baller. Find him on Instagram. We're super excited to be doing this series of live podcast events with Industry City. This is our first one at Innsmead, and we're excited to be here. I am going to let Harry take it away. If you want to know more about the work HRN does, go to heritageradionetwork.org. You can find Harry's show there, as well as 35 other weekly podcasts. All right, Harry, take it away.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. Actually, it was kind of a nice day today. It's been kind of dreary, so it's nice to be here. So we're going to do this sort of live chat. We're going to sit up here, and then I guess we'll continue to eat some of the delicious food that's out. And you can ask us questions afterwards. So my guest here today, who happens to have his offices here in Industry City as well, is Michele Iadarola. Michele runs a company called Especially Puglia. He's from Puglia in Italy, which for those who don't know, is the heel of the boot. Italy is probably one of the most recognizably shaped countries in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to say where you're from if you describe a piece of a boot to somebody. Right, yes. Michele?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Especially Puglia. I mean, what I know from this side is that you import products direct from Italy. You work directly with the producers of those products to bring those products to the market here in America.
Yes. I moved to New York 10 years ago, and I realized soon after that a lot of the food that or the cuisine that was trying and around was not what I was used to. So I felt like Puglia as a region was not recognized. So sure. I decided to start Especially Puglia also out of the desire that I wanted to just bring the food culture to the U.S. and make it available for the foodies and home cooks here in America.
So as someone who grew up, understanding like Italian food to mean like spaghetti and meatballs, and that was kind of like what I, originally knew as like Italian, what areas did you see more heavily represented than your home region?
In my home region?
Well, what did you see represented here when you moved to New York?
Yes, like, yeah.
That wasn't from Puglia.
Mostly what everybody knows is usually the region of Tuscany, Sicily, and everybody knows Naples, and Puglia is always kind of left apart.
I mean, sure.
Recently is getting a lot of attention,
right.
But back in the days, 10 years ago, it was a little bit different.
I mean, and that's interesting because Puglia is known, at least in Italy, as sort of the breadbasket, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's
it
kind
is.
Of like the California
yes.
of Italy,
we're
where tons of stuff is grown, tons of things are produced.
Yes.
You know, I believe that more than half the olive oil in
exactly.
Italy comes from Puglia.
Yes, and not everybody knows. I mean, 60% of the Italian olive oil is coming from Puglia. And we are also the main producer of other many produces that you have every day, such as tomatoes and like you said, durum wheat that you make pasta with.
Sure.
So,
so tell me a little bit about your
yes.
the spread of products.
So yes.
So you know, I know we've just tasted on the table some of your olive oil, some of your spreads, and a really fantastic cheese. So let's start with
Thank
the
you.
Olive oil.
Yes. So of course the olive oil is why, I mean, where everything started.
Sure.
I was a Kickstarter back in the days, and. I wanted to do something completely different, and I used to buy olive oil from the store, and it tastes completely different from the one I was used at home. And the reason why is because it wasn't fresh. It was probably blended with other low-graded olive oil or
sure.
old olive oil. So that's why I started this program called Adopt an Olive Tree. So by adopting an olive tree, you basically get olive oil straight from the farm, and you get the freshest olive oil you can ever find. So, and I mean, what I recommend to all the customers is to get olive oil and use it within a year. And
right.
this is not what's happening in a normal retail store.
Sure. I mean, I think in America, we have this sense that these kind of specialty foods are supposed to be special.
Right.
Right? Instead of they are foods that are coming from a different place where they're not considered to be this thing that's up on a high shelf that you only pull out when you have your best guests. Right? In Italy, olive oil... every day.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
here, when that became more popular, we kind of didn't get that because of the way that kind of industrial food, I think, was represented in America.
Yes. Yeah, but it's changing. I
of
mean,
course.
I also see it on my kind of statistic that I do, but a lot of in the main cities and the East Coast, West Coast, where you know the more organic type of movement is, they also are like the ones that buy more high-end olive oil, and so yeah, I mean I do think that there is a lot of room for growth,
sure,
for good yeah. olive oil.
So the idea was that people would adopt an olive tree and then they would get.
Yes.
How much? Three liters
they can
or
choose
so?
Between one time purchase or one year subscription. So it depends how much olive oil you use, basically.
Yep.
Some people don't use that much olive oil. I go through a lot, like a lot of olive oil. So, I mean, the one time purchase comes with 3 liters, so it's almost a gallon.
Sure.
And a ceramic bottle they use as a decanter. It's perfect for storing the olive oil. And there's a funnel. So you can do the refill at home. And
Got
the
it.
Subscription comes with the same box, but with the 3 more refill. So
Got it.
You have basically almost 1 liter every month.
Have you found that people who started out doing just the smaller one
yes.
have then increased in more in,
yes.
in subsequent years to do it
yes,
more
yes,
of it?
Yes, yes, yes. Some people just try it out and then they really get hooked.
They realize that they can use it for everything.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You use it for everything.
Yeah. So... you grew up in Puglia.
Yes.
When you were growing up, was there anything that you were seeing, that you were eating, that we don't see now in the marketplace in America?
That we don't see here now.
Yeah. Yes. Is there anything that you sort of like wish that we did have in the market or that you're hoping to bring to the market that we don't have currently?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like... We have more like fresh food, and here what I see in most cases still as of right now it's coming out of a plastic bag.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I mean, you can, for example, you can walk in Italy and get a like sandwich. Just I mean, you can do this in New York, but if you go like a little bit outside New York,
yeah.
it's a completely different reality, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, everything fresh and from like whole days where you go to the mom and pop store. So I feel like this kind of this stuff here, I got like getting lost instead
yes.
of.
Yes, yeah, of know. Course. You just got back from Italy.
Yes,
right?
I am.
On a couple days ago.
Yes.
And you were there for the 2019 olive harvest.
Yes.
How was 2019?
It was amazing. I mean, there's a lot of you know, excitement about it. And yes, it's the olive oil is already on in its way, and we are already getting pre-orders because that's how we do the adoption. So you pre-order, and then as soon as it gets here, we ship it, and you get it at home.
Oh wow! So it's so really. What you're offering is probably one of the freshest olive oils people can get in this country from Italy.
Yes, it's basically the same idea of a CSA. It's just a, you know, it goes across the ocean, but you're buying it still from the farmer, and there are no middlemen.
Right, of course. So then you started with the olive oil. And now you've expanded.
And then we expanded to, we have other adoption programs.
Yeah.
We have the Adopt a Cow, and you can adopt a cow and get
it. But you don't have to take it home with you?
It's very messy. You don't want to. So we take care of that, and you receive a cheese that's called Cacio Cavallo Podolico. You can choose between also different aging, because this cheese is particular. It just gets a lot of different flavors within the age. And so it's there's a very few producers. They're still doing this cheese because the cows are not producing a lot of this milk. So no one of producers who does this for a really commercial reason wants to keep this tradition, but you know, I deal with very small producer. There is three of them, and I'm happy also to support this traditional and keep this tradition alive, basically. Yeah. And another adoption is the Adopt a Beehive. So same reason, same philosophy. You can get all honey right after it's been harvested, and every season we have different flavors. And you get it immediately after it's been harvested.
This episode of Feast Your Ears was recorded live at Industry City in Brooklyn. Industry City is New York's hub for the innovation economy. A diverse mix of over 500 businesses call Industry City home. Collaborating across the 16-building campus, merging today's creative sectors like tech, content creation, and design with craft-making and traditional manufacturing. The Industry City food scene is a rich yet approachable international experience for every palate. With 5 acres of outdoor space, more than 50 experiential food vendors and retailers, plus unrivaled tenant amenities, Industry City is a bustling hub where 8,000 people come to work every day and thousands stop by for a visit. It's also home to the Brooklyn Kitchen, New York's premier cooking school. Learn more at industrycity.com.
The products are delicious. We've tasted them here. The cheese is fantastic. And this, I mean, you were saying to me earlier, we were talking that the only way to get this cheese is to adopt one of the cows through, especially Puglia. Yes. You can't go to any store and buy this cheese.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, but because it's a really in limited quantities. Sure. I myself have to pre-order.
Yeah.
So they tell me sometimes they don't have it.
So. Right, right, sure. So what, you know, so the response, I mean, clearly the products are incredibly high quality. And so the response from the consumers has been very good.
Yes.
What has the response been like from the producers?
They're very happy. I mean, they are so small, and they had not even considered America as a market opportunity because of their limited amount, right?
Right.
So this is a way that actually can give access for them to a market that it's very far and remote otherwise.
Sure. Yeah. And then has this program allowed the producers to increase their production and to expand their business?
No, but they work also them. They're more relaxed, and they get more than from just doing a sign up to, you know, this program by actually selling it normally how they used to.
Sure.
So they with us, they can also get you know some sort of forecast, so they can really plan their production, and it's a little bit different approach.
Yeah, and so you now have the three different adoption programs.
Yes,
you do a number of packaged jarred goods, right? A couple of spreads, and then some preserved vegetables.
Yeah, we sell them through this. It's a page that we just launched. It's called Specialty Boxes. And it's curated boxes, and all the boxes comes with either like some specialty recipe, or you know, it's the typical stuff that you would put in your pantry. So the idea is that you can just restock your pantry by getting the boxes. Yeah. And some of those pantry items, such as tomato, pasta, those are like the staple, something that you get every year, and you just want to keep it right in your pantry.
Let's talk a little bit about the pasta. So we, you mentioned earlier that a lot of the durum wheat,
yes,
in Italy is grown in Puglia.
Yes.
There's also a sort of toasted
right
wheat,
yes,
orchietti that you do.
It's
but it actually has kind of a deeper story.
It's called Grano Arso. So this the story behind this is back in the days when they used to pick the wheat, they would burn what was left, because to just give the soil the nutrients that comes with it. So but at the time we're talking about right after the Second World War, people were really poor, so they would actually go and pick up whatever wheat was left after they was burned.
Wow.
And with this wheat they realized that they could do this toasted flour. And that's why it's very dark when you, if you see it. And it gives also that smoky flavor when you eat it. So it's very typical, and only in Puglia we do this. And usually it's either orecchiette or cicatelli, which are also the shapes typical of the region.
Got it. I mean, that is something that until I encountered it through your products, I had never even heard of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that that's very interesting, because it's, Italian specialty foods are foods that have been in this country for quite a long time. If you look at the kind of specialty food landscape, Italian and French are probably the two kind of ones that most people feel like, oh, we have plenty, right, of that stuff. Right. But, just a few years ago, that was one that kind of you brought to the market, and it's the only one that I'm aware of.
And it's interesting because it has probably hundreds of years, that's been, yeah.
Do you have any products that have been kind of an unexpected runaway hit that sold out really fast that you didn't expect to do as well as they did?
So the tomatoes. I mean, they're obviously jarred and made almost my mother tomato sauce. I mean, they were a good hit, and olive oil, of course.
Right, of course. So you posted a picture on Instagram. People can follow you. It's at Especially Puglia.
Yes.
You posted a picture of the olive harvest just from last week, and it looks like there are tarps on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
How are the olives? So the olives are not harvested by machine, I'm gathering. How are the olives harvested off the trees? Do they lay down tarps on the ground?
Yes, and then they get picked and put in a sort of basket.
Mm.
So yes, and then obviously they are going to a mill where they're being pressed. There's two different mills that we use. One is a little bit more traditional, and one is the most advanced one. But it's being pressed, cold pressed, within 8 hours from being picked. And then filtered so that you can keep the olive oil for much longer in your pantry. And by what's particular is that you really get the olive oil immediately after. So that's what is, I think, makes us very different from all the others.
Sure. Do you have any products that you're working on that are coming in down the line in the future?
So yes, we're working actually right now on this, still with olive oil, with some filling stations. We want to place around the cities. In fact, Ennismead is our second location that is carrying our bottle. So the idea behind is that you get the bottle in glass, and then you find the filling station around the cities. Soon we're going to have a page where with a map that it's gonna tell the location.
Awesome. And then you've also branched out. So again, starting just from olive oil.
Yes.
Now you have pasta, you have jarred goods as well. You have cheese, you have honey.
Yes.
And you've also started doing tourism.
Yes, but that was kind of, wasn't unexpected, because we were we had a lot of customers excited about adopting, and they were asking at some point, I want to come and visit my tree. I want to come and visit my cow. So the whole tour came as an idea, but also because I want to really offer this opportunity to the customer. So because the whole point of adoption is that there is an interaction with the producer. So what better than actually bringing them there?
Right.
So we do the farm stay during the harvest, and we had a group of hay people, just visiting us during the harvest. They take part in the harvest. They spend some time in the entire days dedicated to that. So we go from the grove where they pick olives, then we go to the mill, they see the whole process, we do an olive tasting, we eat in the mill with the farmers. So it's just, it's an amazing experience. They spend a week with me, so besides obviously the olive harvest, they also visit some other producer, cheese maker, the mill where we do the flour, and they learn all about the flour and the pasta, how it's made. So it's a really once in a life of opportunity. And so we do this also because, giving our customers this opportunity to be full transparent with them.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like it's a great way to connect the producer to the consumer. So that the producer, right, who's making the cheese or making the honey or making the pasta can understand who are the people who are buying and using their product in the United States.
Right.
So when's the next one? I'd like to come.
The next one, I'm working on one in May dedicated to cheese.
Ooh.
And because in Puglia we have a lot of good and authentic cheeses from Puglia. One of the most important one is burrata. It's from Puglia. So the whole May tours will be around cheese, and the fall tour will be around olive oil. And then there are other tours that we do, but they're not like 1 week long. They're shorter.
Sure. Right. If people happen to be in Italy, can they contact you?
They can contact us. They connect us with.
That's awesome. So what did you do before you started importing all these Italian goods?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I arrived here 10 years ago, like I said, and I was working for different companies. I worked in fashion, and then I started working for an Italian importer, but they were like the traditional importer, like they were selling to supermarkets, the big ones like Walmart, Trader Joe's. So I wanted to do something completely different. So that was the idea, and I wanted to go home. So I was like, what can I do?
Right.
They connect me, and not only that, maybe I can just go back and forth. It's like for work.
Yeah.
So I recreated a little bit home here for me.
Sure. Are any of the suppliers that you're working with now people that you've known and your family
has known? Yeah. It started from my own family olive groves, and then my neighbors, and producers that have been sourcing food since I was obviously in Italy, and as a kid my parents still buy from them for their personal use. That's the idea, and that's how I use my parents actually sometime to scope and and find more of products. They're the best. They do the quality control for me.
That's great. So do you think that this is a model? I mean, I think it's a very interesting model because you've taken the region that you're from.
Yes.
And you've identified sort of the most important products of the region, and you're bringing just those, but really doing what I think is a great job of connecting the producers with the consumers. Is this something that you see kind of as a format that other people could take and use, whether it's in other regions of Italy or other countries?
Yes, definitely.
And do here?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, all of the regions of Italy are so much different, and they have so much variety in food. Like, I don't know, for example, right now, this everybody's a truffle period, right? So a truffle, you can do the same thing. And
right.
And you can visit, and you can meet the truffle hunters, same idea.
Yeah, of course. Are there other countries that you visited where you think there is enough of a passion for Italian food specifically that you are interested in expanding to? Like, would you do especially Puglia in any other countries?
Yes, actually. I'm looking at expanding into the UK market.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, and Asia. I mean, I've been receiving requests from those countries, and Asia, it's also kind of very interesting. for me.
Yeah, I've had really, really great Italian food in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I sort of feel like it would be very interesting to try to expand this model into the Japanese market.
Yes, 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 yes.
Japanese have a great respect for the producers and for food. Yeah. So I feel like it would be very interesting to be able to connect it. I just don't know about the logistics.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I have to. I will see. I mean, it's very far, and yes. But I do appreciate a lot also the Japanese culture, and for this reason that they really stand up for their food.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that this is very timely that we're having this discussion now. I think this makes like the perfect gift for anybody who, I mean, really anybody, right? We all eat, so it's really the perfect gift for anyone.
Yes.
Where can people go to access this stuff?
So on our website, I mean, it's www.especiallypuglia.com. And yes, you can find all the information there, and we receive everything, all the new harvest. So the new olive oil is on its way, and we're gonna ship it at the 10th of December. So just cool. You're gonna receive it in time for Christmas or for holiday gifting.
And is there a chance that, I mean, you know, will it sell out at some point? I assume
it
right?
does.
I mean, you do run
no,
out.
No, it
right?
does. Yeah. We have pre-orders, and then we start getting more as you know orders are coming in.
Sure.
So yes, it's best to place the order to pre-orders.
Well, I can speak to I know that I can speak to how delicious it is, and I hope that everyone who's here mm-hmm. listening live will place some orders, because it is
Thank
really
you.
it is fantastic products, and I feel like, you know, it really speaks to the quality and to your work that you even have to pre-order it, right? That
yes,
you need, that there isn't enough exactly. for you to feel like you can just take a little bit home, right? So if you want to have the cheese, you have to basically adopt a cow as well.
I think
that says a lot to me about, you know, about how it works. Well, I want to thank you so much,
thank you, Michele,
for sitting down
I appreciate
with me.
It. Yes.
You know, I feel like I've been following especially Puglia since the very beginning, early days, and that first Kickstarter. So it's very exciting to get to chat with you here and to kind of talk about this and kind of share it wider.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Feast Your Ears today. You can find more online at especiallypuglia.com, and you can follow them on Instagram at especiallypuglia. Thanks for listening to Feast Your Ears today. You can find more online about Michele and Especially Puglia at especiallypuglia.com. You can follow them on Instagram at especiallypuglia. You can find Feast Your Ears as well as lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org, on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please reach out if you have any questions. You can find me on email, harry@thebrooklynkitchen.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at thefoodballer. Talk to you next week.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter, @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.